right, like I say, Lydia is mentioned three times in the New Testament, and that's in Acts. So we will be looking at Acts chapter 16, starting in verses 13 through 15, and then verse 40. So it's Acts 14, 15, and 40 where her name is mentioned. But we are going to go back to Acts 16, verse 6, so that we get the proper context of what was going on at the time when Lydia met Paul and Luke. But just to give you context before we start that scripture reading, Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he was a fellow traveler of Paul's, and he was eyewitness to many things that happened during Jesus' time on earth. So what was going on at this time in that area of the world? The gospel during that time was received by many Jews at that time. It was primarily taught to the Jewish people. And the early church was composed primarily of Jewish believers. They came to recognize who Christ was, and the church was starting to form. However, as more and more Gentiles heard the word, then the church became a diverse church of those from the Jewish faith and those who had no faith or may have worshipped false gods. So the church then became more distinct from Judaism. So there was a divide there. And so this is where we meet Lydia. She was a Macedonian woman. And the Macedonian culture was different than the traditional Greek culture for women. The Macedonian women were, I guess you could say, more women's liver compared to the Greek, traditional Greek woman. They were involved in more social programs. They were involved in businesses as well as different religions. And Lydia, she lived in Thyatira. And I have to say, I pulled up my Google to the pronunciation of Thyatira, and I was laughing so hard because there were several different people giving that pronunciation. And it was all the pronunciation was similar, but this one man, he said, the pronunciation is Thyatira, so if you would like to know more, follow me. He had all these different pronunciations. It was quite very, very funny. Gave me a little laugh in the midst of all this. So Thyatira was a city located in Western Asia, Asia Minor. And the city itself had a thriving marketplace of textiles. They had all kinds of businesses going on there. And it was a melting pot of many nations. And their chief object of worship was Apollo, the Romans. And that was their sun god named Tyrannus. Thyatira had a large Jewish population. And, of course, the Jewish people worshiped Jehovah God. Many businesses there sold their goods, not only for the people who lived there for their personal lives, but for religious rituals as well. And that's where Lydia comes in. She was known for her purple dye, and she sold purple dye mostly to the wealthy and to royalty, because purple was a sign of royalty. But it was actually kind of a cross between scarlet, the red scarlet, and purple, which makes magenta according to Crayola crayons. And but it was very sought after because it was very difficult to obtain. And the way this purple dye was obtained, it was very sought after. And so because it was so hard to obtain, that's what, you know, made the cost go higher. And the primary way that it was obtained was through a shellfish, a mollusk. And it was a spiny shellfish. And it would take 10,000, it was noted in my studies, it would take 10,000 of these mollusks to create 1 gram of dye. So it was labor intensive and required a lot of people to create the dye. They found another way to create the dye by using the root of the madder plant, M-A-D-D-E-R, which you can obtain today. But it's advised that you wear rubber gloves when handling the root of that plant because your hands can turn purple. So you need to steep that root into boiling water and then let it simmer and you get that color of dye. I learned a lot. Learned a lot during this study. So it was a less expensive way to dig up that root and create the dye rather than through the mollusks. But this is how Lydia earned her living, and she became very wealthy. Another thing that we'll learn about Lydia is not a whole lot. We don't know if she was ever married. We don't know if she was widowed. We don't know if she had been a slave and became a free woman, which could very well have been. But she had a large household, and it's assumed that she had a large household of servants, as well as possibly her family. It doesn't speak directly to that, but because of scripture saying that it was her home rather than her husband's home, she was the one in charge of her home and her household. So that's a little bit about the culture back then. And currently, Macedonia still exists. So you've got the Mediterranean Sea here. I should have brought a map. Mediterranean Sea. And then you have Italy here. Then you have, the name escapes me, the sea that's right in between off the coast of what is now Slovenia, Bulgaria, Albania, and all of that area in today has parts of Macedonia. Just like back in the day, when the Romans were conquering the world, they would go to another country but set up a town, which then would become a city, which then would become a region. So then it was a colony, a Roman colony. And so all of the residents of that Roman colony were privy to all of the perks of being a Roman citizen. So that's how the Romans operated. And but today, Macedonia still exists. The geographic region is southeastern Europe and includes the nation of the Republic of Northern Macedonia. I was stunned. I had no idea. No idea. And parts of Greece, parts of Bulgaria, parts of Albania, Serbia, and Kosovo. I was just stunned to read all that. But it was good knowledge to know that. So let's go to scripture, and I'll read Acts 6 through 15. And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And this was Paul and his companions. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, it's right on the coast. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so in this verse, you see that this person, who the author, Luke, is writing this, saying basically when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we, so it wasn't just Paul and him, it was the others, which were Silas and Timothy, they went to Macedonia to preach the gospel. Therefore, putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in the city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate. So this is interesting, just that phrase. They went outside the gate, which was the gate to the city. So they did not have a church there yet. They went to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So out of those few verses there about Lydia, we can learn a lot of things. So who was Lydia? There are 5 points as to who she was. She was a devout woman. Scripture tells us that she was a worshiper of God. We don't know for certain if she was Jewish, but she was a worshiper of God. We know she was a businesswoman, and we know that faith was part of her life. She was at the riverside, which Scripture said was a place of prayer, so she was at a prayer meeting with the other women. And there was apparently at this time no synagogue in Philippi, because my research showed me that it required about 10 men at least to start a synagogue. So they did not have one there yet. So again, Acts verse 13. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. So, you know, I was thinking in my mind's eye, how did Paul and his, you know, buddies approach the women, and what were the women thinking? I assume the women were sitting down. Were they in the midst of prayer? Did Paul announce to them who they were? And, you know, did Paul give his testimony to these women? We know he had to have told them about Jesus, their Savior, if they chose to believe, because Scripture tells us that the Lord opened her heart. Didn't say anything about the other women, just Lydia. So here we have this group of women, doesn't say how many, sitting beside the riverbank. Paul and his 3 buddies come up to them and sit down with them and start speaking to them. So Lydia was also a seeking woman. She was seeking the Lord. She knew that she worshipped God, we know that. She didn't know the Savior, we know that at this point. And so Acts verse 14 is where Scripture says she was a worshiper of God. She was listening. And the Greek word for listening is she was being attentive. She wasn't just hearing the words. She was soaking in the words that Paul was saying, because the Lord opened her heart. Our minds can be closed to the Spirit of the Lord for many reasons. Our minds and hearts can be closed because of unbelief. They can be closed because of pride. I've known some people who choose to not believe because they are prideful, but they want to believe, but they don't want to admit it because they feel like Christianity is a crutch because they're number one and I can do it on my own, do life on my own. Also ignorance. If people don't know what Scripture says, their hearts are closed if they don't want to take the time to learn. And, you know, God obviously plays a part in this because Scripture says that the Lord opened her heart. But he knew her heart to begin with, that she was seeking to learn. And so God opened her heart, gave her faith to believe. That is such a huge gift from the Lord, to give us faith to believe. Doesn't happen on our own. God opens our ears, our minds, and our heart to believe. Faith is a great gift. Some people may be prejudiced toward Christianity because of their own background of religion, and they just don't understand. And it's, you know, Paul and the buddies that were with him here, they were so bold. And I pray that each one of us can be as bold as Paul and Timothy and Luke and Silas, to lay down our life. That's what Paul and Silas ended up doing when they went to prison in this whole passage a little bit later on. And because Christ is our all in all. And Lydia learns that very quickly. So the Lord opened her heart, and she responded to the things that Paul was telling her. She responded very quickly and was baptized. And so Scripture jumps from the riverside to her household. So was it immediately that she ran to her household to tell all of them, her servants, her family, about Christ and her belief in him? Was it, you know, a few days later? Scripture doesn't say how long it took, but they were all baptized. And I wonder if they were baptized in that riverside where she first learned of the Lord. We don't know. But we do know that the light dawned in Lydia's heart and mind that day. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." So we don't need to be, you know, a rocket scientist to understand Scripture. We don't need to be a Bible scholar to understand Scripture. We just need to be open and willing to understand what God is telling us through His Word. So Lydia was also, now she's a Christian woman because she believed. So she's part of Christianity. And verse 15 says, "And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon them." So she prevailed upon them. In my mind, she was encouraging them, begging them to come and stay with her. She was a wealthy woman. She probably had a large house because it says she and her household, which would include her servants and possibly family. And she still had room and the means to care for them, for these missionaries. So her faith was immediately shown by her actions. And so I was thinking about myself and my own faith and my actions, not just when I accepted Christ when I was 12 years old, but through the years, you know, have my actions shown my faith to others without being verbal about it? And I hope so. And I pray so. She did. She opened her house to these missionaries. She, according to Scripture, She was most likely the first European convert to Christianity. So that opened wide the doors to Europe for the gospel to be spread. Just gives me chills, you know, when I sat and thought about that. I thought, wow, just because of her faith and her unhesitating willingness to open her home to these missionaries, it opened the door to Christianity being spread throughout the world. So we now also know that she was a hospitable woman because she encouraged Paul, Timothy, Luke, and Silas to stay at her house. So she had the means, so she knew she needed to feed them, provide a place for them to sleep. 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaint." So never ever think that what you have to offer is not good enough. Never ever think that. Because home is where the heart is, whether it's a studio apartment or whether it's a home that Lydia may have had filled with many, many rooms. You can have a mansion with many, many rooms and it's cold and inhospitable. But if the Lord is present, that's when your faith matters. That's when people, you know, want to come to your house to just be there, to be with other believers. So the truths that she now knew in her mind and heart, she put into practice. And she eagerly prevailed upon Paul and his buddies to come to her house, to stay there. She exhibited her hospitality and other to her own. She put herself in danger during this time because she was in a Roman colony. And the Romans didn't like the Jewish people, let alone the Christians. And so she put her whole household in danger by offering up her home. And so from verse 16 down through verse 39, this is the passage about when Paul and Silas left her home, and they came upon a woman who was possessed and supposedly possessed, but these people were using her to make money, to tell fortunes or, you know, whatever they did. And so they were really angry at Paul and Silas because they called them out on it. They were thrown into prison, Paul and Silas. It's just a little summary of this passage. And this is where they were in chains, and an earthquake came and unlocked their chains, and the Roman guard was worried, you know, because Paul said there are Romans here, because he was a Roman citizen, because that's where he was born, and they left the prison. And then verse 40 says, "And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed." So they leave this prison. It doesn't say how much time had passed while they were there. But as soon as they left the prison, they knew they could go to Lydia's house for safety. So they immediately went there and saw the other brethren. It doesn't say how many brethren, but obviously Lydia's home was being used by Christians as a gathering place. Word spread. Just gives me chills. Praise God. You know, I should be so hospitable. Anyway, Lydia's house could have been the first home church in Europe. And, you know, I think of our small groups and our life groups in church, outside of church and homes that gather. You know, that's a small element of a larger church that gather in homes to learn about Christ and to encourage each other in Christ. Those home groups are literally life groups. And I hope more and more and more people join those life groups. This was one of the first life groups at her home. Lydia was also a servant of the Lord. So she went from being a devout woman who worshipped God, was not a Christian. Then she became a woman of faith by believing what she was told about Christ. She experienced that faith in her life by applying it by action, putting her faith to action. So she became a servant of the Lord by opening her home. I assume that she continued her business in order to provide for those who stayed at her home. And she told her household about Jesus. You know, she was a missionary in her own home. And they all became believers. And so Paul and Timothy later established the first church there, in located in Philippi later on. And for Lydia to open her home, to open the door to Europe and literally beyond, you know, over time, how God used her in those three verses is incredible. He can use any one of us in our circumstances. We just have to listen. Have to listen and take action and believe. So Lydia was an ordinary woman of extraordinary faith. I was thinking a lot about the dye that she used in the fabrics that she produced. And as God would have it, a personal story here, I learned a lot about dye recently at my office downtown. Let's see, a year before COVID happened, our office had a huge build-out. They took everything out down to the walls, exterior walls. We're on the 30th floor. We had three floors in our building. Took everything out. You know, it was just the concrete floor, beams, nothing. Nothing was left. And so our contractor told us that it would be 6 months from the time he moved us out to the time he moved us back in. And I thought, yeah, right, because this is three floors. He did it. He did it to the date. Well, so a couple of women partners in the office and me chose all of the furnishings, the flooring, the carpets, everything, the desks, the lamps, the type of monitors, everything in the office. So we had different types of carpet, and there were carpet squares in the interior and exterior offices. Then we had a different type of carpet in the corridors and the conference rooms. So everything's great. We're there for just a little over a year. We moved in on December 2018, middle of the month. We left our office March 2020. So we were just in for a little over a year. We were out for 3 years, out of the office. And then in 2023, the firm wanted people to start coming back in. Just a little bit at a time, not a lot, and people just didn't want to. So gradually we came back in 3 days a week, some people. Well, last summer, the dye in the carpet in the offices, well, I didn't even know it was the dye. The carpet in the offices started turning colors. And it was a tan and a gray and cream with a little tiny black line through. It was very pretty. And I noticed one day just walking around that the carpets in the offices were turning green. I mean splotchy, splotchy green, like lime green. And I thought, what in the world? And I thought, okay, is this cause from cleaning the carpet, the chemicals? Is it caused from the sunlight coming in through the windows? And so I contacted our facilities manager in the office and had him walk the floors with me. One office would be worse than another, like the entire office, just splotchy green. Another one might have just a few spots here and there. And it was, I thought, well, maybe it's where people are walking. But it was under the desks. It was up against the walls. I thought, what in the world? So I called our contractors to get the name of the person who I needed to contact for the carpet. And they were finished with us, our contractors, you know, according to their contract. But thank the Lord, I had a good relationship with them, so they came back. And they looked at it, and they looked at me. I said, I don't know. I'm asking you. I don't know what's wrong. He said, do you have anything that's not exposed to the sunlight? So I said, yes, we have the carpet tiles, extra carpet tiles in the storage room. He said, well, let's look at those. They had turned green as well. So it wasn't the sunlight. It wasn't any kind of chemical cleaning. And he turned it over, and the backing was like rubberized, and it was lime green. So I thought, how can that come up through, you know, and latch onto the fibers? He said, I have no idea. So he contacted the woman at the carpet place, and she contacted me, and that started last summer. We still don't have new carpet yet. So anyway, she wanted pictures, so I took pictures, and they were astounded, just astounded. Then the manufacturing company in Georgia wanted samples under a desk, samples by a window, samples from the storage closet, and I had to send two samples of each and label them all. So we did that in the fall. We just now heard back from them. And so, you know, I was negotiating with this woman. I said, well, before we get to what's wrong with it, I just want to make sure that your company is going to replace this at no cost to us. And she said, I'll check. And I said, well, it's reasonable to expect that. And so she finally got back to me 2 months later and said that they would cover the cost. And I said, but my biggest question is, what caused this? Because if it happened to us, it's going to happen to someone else, and you guys are going to be out more money. And she said, they're working on it. So finally the lab samples came back, and the dye did not adhere to the yarn. The type of dye they used did not adhere to the yarn. So they don't know if it was the yarn that was defective or if it was the dye that was defective. So beware of carpets you buy that happens. And I told our other office managers as well that this could happen because they have the same carpet, but it's from a different lot, most likely. So when I was studying about Lydia and Di, I thought her dye had to have been just excellent to provide to royalty and to the wealthy and to become so well known, that city to become so well known for its dye. And then my own personal experience with dye brought it even more to life. And isn't that like God? To bring something in your own life that parallels what you're studying, if you're paying attention. And I didn't pay attention to that until last week when I was studying this. So that's how God works. And as a cap to that story about the office carpet, I thought, well, now I'm going to have all that office furniture moved out and then move back in. So that's another cost. So I emailed her back, and I said, my assumption is that you will pay for office movers as well. She said, I'll have to check. So the carpet manufacturer is not paying for the movers, but her company is. So anyway, now I hope it all happens after I retire so I don't have to negotiate yet another move. So with that said, God puts us in places where we least expect to be. And we need to be ready. And to be ready, we need to be prayerful. Lydia was in a prayer meeting, and God knew what was going to happen that day. So we need to be ready. Be prayerful that you grab onto those opportunities that God gives to you to tell others about him. She told her household. There were other brethren at her house when Paul and Silas came back. The word was spreading. So Lydia was an ordinary woman of extraordinary faith. She won't be wearing garments of purple in heaven, but she will be wearing garments of white that have been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ.